Why did the fish make such a good musician?
I don't know.
Because he knew his scales.
Okay. The urge to sing "The Lion Sleeps Tonight" is just a whim away. A whim away.
Hello and welcome to the Temple Crag podcast. This is Leisha.
And Alice, and today we are going to be talking about the 2017 charts.
Yeah, I think they're bangers from back then.
So, we're going to just start off straight in. Ed Sheeran is in the top 10 four times.
Yeah, I guess.
With Shape of You,
Castle on the Hill,
Perfect, and Go Away Girl. Go Away, I couldn't find the second one. That also reminded me, his child. Her name?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, what is her name?
It's like...
Where is it? It sounds kind of... I'm not going to lie. It's like...
So it's Lyra Antarctica Seaborn Sheeran.
Did they put like both of the parents' surnames in it?
Oh, yeah. Wait, is her...
Oh, the Ed Sheeran's wife's surname is Seaborn.
So that's I always thought that was a middle name.
No, I think it's like a double barrel. It's meant to be Antarctic. Is that like a double barrel name? And then Seaborn Sheeran is her surname.
I think Antarctica might just be her middle name.
But would they? I don't know.
I don't know if it's like double barreled or what.
Yeah.
But we were playing Shape of You at the beginning there.
At the number one top chart on UK charts in 2017. Charts.
Which is... quite good. Like
Not surprising.
No, he did definitely top the charts in 2017, so it kind of...
In fact, I went to one of his concerts in 2018.
So How was it?
I really enjoyed it, in fairness. We were in one of those grand seats. We weren't up in the chairs, so we were just able to like jump and dance. But
oh, that's so
good. I was in sixth class, and I was quite short, and there was a bunch of tall people in front of me, so I couldn't quite see.
Yeah. I wish I'd gone to an Ed Sheeran concert.
Yeah,
I just
fun.
Haven't. I think like we just everyone bought tickets to it though. There
it was my birthday ticket because it was on my birthday actually.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. My God. Okay. So then second is Despacito. Now I'm sure we all remember Despacito, the most overplayed song ever. Really?
And no one even knew Spanish. So
yeah, no one even knew Spanish.
No one knew how to sing
it. So here's the beginning of Despacito in case you need a reminder. Is it playing? Yep. I'm going to skip a bit. Oh no, we'll just leave it here. Very groovy music.
Yeah, I feel like everyone kind of made up their own words to try and know how to sing it.
No one actually really knew what the words were. Apart from like the chorus where Justin Bieber sings. And then like the fact that it wasn't even his original song as well though. Like I don't think many people know that.
It's a different song, but then he
it's completely in Spanish. Is it Spanish it's in? Yeah, Spanish.
Yeah, it's in Spanish. I remember my friend had a Spanish student over and she knew all the lyrics and my entire class was so surprised. They were like, whoa, she's so cool, even though it's her language.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were like, whoa, that's
I always find it crazy how like we're so like I don't know what the word is, but we forget that there's other languages apart from English and music.
So many other languages and
there's so many other languages that there's music in, and we just kind of put them on like a back burner because most songs are in English and that's accessible for us, but it's not accessible for everyone else.
And we're quite lucky with the English.
And I feel like we can be quite blind to other kind of cultures and languages sometimes.
Yeah. So I think we should head on to our next song, which is another Ed Sheeran. It's Castle on the Hill.
At number three. So, I have a story to tell about Castle on the Hill. When I was in primary school, we did like an end of year song. We rewrote the entire lyrics to Castle on the Hill. To like match us in school.
Yeah, I think we did that to another song, but... They made a rule, no one's allowed to use History by One Direction, because that got used like 3 years in a row. It's like you and me got a whole lot of history, but like everyone just used that exact same song for leaving school for the sixth class graduations and all, which I think is really funny.
No one really in my school like even thought of it.
3 years in a row.
Oh no, one in my school even thought of it. We were just like thinking of Ed Sheeran. There's another one. I can't remember what it's called. That, like, the other sixth class used.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't as good as ours. I will say that from the bottom of my heart. Of my class was so much better as well. But, yeah. So, Ed Sheeran at number three again. Then at four, we've got Unforgettable. I have no recollection of this song.
I don't recognize the artist. It says
yeah.
French Montana featuring Swan Lee.
Yeah, so got the song playing now. Don't recognize it.
I recognize parts of it, in fairness, but I wouldn't.
I'm usually quite good with this. Actually, no, this has swearing in it. we're not going to play this one very loudly. But I don't even recognize like the album art. So I don't really have
one of those singles that like the one hit wonders, you know.
Oh my god, yeah, it probably is a one hit wonder.
So then again, they are quite good songs.
Now,
all of them.
I love the next song. It was 2017 was such a good year for some music.
Yeah.
So this is Symphony at number five, featuring Zara. By Clean Bandit featuring Zara Larsson.
Oh,
I'm sure everyone
the
remembers this.
From this. Honestly,
I touched the microphone. Whoops.
I feel like these are all songs I've completely forgotten about, but like I somehow know all the lyrics. And
yeah,
it's kind of surprising me.
I've forgotten about them as well, but they're really nostalgic.
Yeah,
I think is what they are. There's just
and I always relate
so
them with
nostalgic.
Like a certain time, or like if me and my friend tried to learn a dance to a certain song or something.
Yeah, no,
just like randomly at yard or.
Yeah, I have a memory from this song in primary school. My sixth class teacher said one of her children thought this said Stephanie and not Symphony. So then, like for the all I can think of when I hear this song is Stephanie instead of Symphony. So that's like a memory.
I always read it wrong and I thought it was sympathy. And I just said sympathy the entire time and I don't think I even knew what the word meant. But
yeah. Wow. Okay, what's
next? So up next we have yet another Ed Sheeran. It's Perfect, and I think this is one of his like not necessarily his best songs, but one of his best known songs, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of it's a very gentle kind of like loving song.
Oh, I love the music video because there's a little kitten at the end.
I have no recollection of the music video.
Yeah, it's like
no, I have no recollection
this
of it.
Girl, they're skiing with their friends, and
oh
then
yeah, no, I know that. I forgot about the
it's
kitten.
Just
I
they're in this little
that.
Hush at the very end, and there's a kitten, and I just remember that's like my favorite thing from
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a very sweet song. Don't really have much to say about it. Everyone knows Perfect.
Yeah.
And then number seven is Chainsmokers and Coldplay, Something Just Like This, which I actually couldn't think of when I saw the name, but I definitely know it.
This is such like an upbeat song. It's just one of those really
yeah, the beginning is quite slow. But then, like, once it gets to the chorus, it really picks up. Or not the chorus. Is it the chorus?
Yeah, yeah.
I know, like, the beat drop, it really picks up.
I'll
skip through it. It's getting close now, but it's just... I think it's a great song.
Yeah.
It's nearly there.
All of these songs are so... There's so much fun to listen back on.
Chainsmokers. I'm not sure about the Chainsmokers. Mm. But, oh, there's the drop. I missed it.
I do quite like Coldplay. They have a bunch of Yellow by Coldplay. I love that song. I'm pretty sure.
Honestly, I'm not really familiar with Coldplay songs. Like I do the songs I know, I do love, but I'm not really familiar with them. So
up next we have Rag and Bone Man with Human.
Yeah, which again we weren't sure about this. Yeah. I'm probably just gonna skip to the middle of this.
Oh, is this I'm Only Human after all? Yeah.
Oh yeah, I got that at the right time.
Wait,
oh yeah,
so
no,
cool.
I do know this song. Yeah, no, this was like this was a huge one.
I feel like this is one of my those songs that my dad would listen to.
Oh, it's definitely yeah,
a bit of a dad song.
It is a bit of a
dad
song.
To start
with. So we're kind of running out of time. So the there's two more.
So in ninth place we have
Galway Girl by Ed Sheeran yet again.
I remember learning the rap. Well, it's not even a rap.
It's not even a rap. Yeah,
something
yeah.
that was like so cool.
Yeah. And then
baby, just
can't really. Everyone knows Galway Girl.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Ed Sheeran has like Irish heritage, so that's something.
It's his
like Galway
his grandfather,
Girl.
But everyone thought it was him.
Yeah, no, it's his grandfather.
Yeah,
that's probably why he's ginger hair. And then number 10, we have Solo Dance by Martin Jensen.
Once again, I don't quite remember this one, but then
I remember it once it starts, but I wouldn't know the words.
Yeah.
Like I just have a recollection of it. So.
Mm. Yeah, so I think these are all really well-deserving songs of the top 10.
Definitely well-deserving songs of the top 10.
Yeah, I quite like them, in fairness. They do bring back a lot of memories.
They do, like, kind of... 2017 was a good time for everyone, it's kind of good memories, you know?
Mm.
So, we were Alice and Leisha, talking about the 2017 Music Tarts on Temple Carib Podcast.
And I hope you enjoyed.
Hope you enjoyed.
Thank you for listening and tuning in.
Thank you so much. You can find us on all major podcasting sites. So, thank you.
Yeah.
Temple Carib Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Dune, my nice little film review. I watched it pretty recently, and the three I'm here with, Stephen, Cole, and Matthew, I'm going to give a wave, I can't see, it's a figurative wave. They're all joining me here today. They haven't seen it yet, and they're going to be asking me a few questions on their review. So I'll ask Cole first. You could ask me a few questions.
Firstly, what is Dune about?
Stars Paul Atreides, played by Tim Chalamet. He's a brilliant, gifted young man, and he's born into a pretty powerful family, and his destiny is basically to rule the most dangerous planet in the solar system.
Right, and how's he given this destiny? Where does it come from, like?
It comes from the Empire, actually. So the planet, let me just get up what the planet's called. It is Arrakis, and it's originally run by the House of Harkonnen, yeah. And basically, the what's called the Empire instigates that the House of Atreides is going to be ruling that from now on, because, like, Harkonnen were, I don't know, they're kind of, like, really tough war generals and stuff.
Right.
And now they have Atreides ruling the planet, and basically the whole comics is that, like, Harkonnen go in and try to kill the House of Atreides. So yeah, that's how he gets his destiny. He has to try and rule Arrakis, but his dad's currently in power of the whole thing, and he's, like, the heir, and he's being bred through, like, great warriors and stuff to the point where he's basically known as the Chosen One. It's very reminiscent to Star Wars with the whole Chosen One, but there's a lot of similarities to that in Star Wars that we're going to be talking about.
Right. Stephen, do you want to ask that question?
Yeah. What is Dune based off?
It's actually based off a science fiction novel that was written in 1965. There's already been a few films, or one film and one series on the movie, but this is the most recent, it's up-to-date one. The author is Frank Herbert, and it was originally published as two separate serials in a magazine. So yeah, that's where it's based off. And
have
it won the inaugural Nebula Award. I have no idea what that is, but it won an award for best novel in 1966.
You read it, the book?
No, because I don't read very much. But that is from ages ago, and it's weird to think about that we're only making proper high quality movies of it now.
Good stuff. Matthew.
The movie has high budgets. What's the production level like?
The CGI is actually amazing, but I was looking at the budget and I was pretty surprised. The budget is $165 million. It made $353 million. And it's also the biggest opening for a Warner Bros. Film ever, beating Godzilla vs. Kong's $31.7 million. And it's also Denis Villeneuve's highest film ever. He's done some pretty good films. I don't have them with me, so I'm not too sure what they were. But he's done some pretty high films, and this is his best ever film from box office. So yeah, it's done pretty well from the start. I'm looking forward to see what the second movie is.
Good stuff. So what do you think makes this film different to, say, the series or the earlier films? Is there anything special about it?
Well, for one, the production value. Like I said earlier, it's very reminiscent to the newer Star Wars movies owned by Disney in terms of the CGI and how the sets look. It kind of separates from a lot of the B-list movies that I've watched recently, where they're kind of like, you know, you're watching a movie, but in terms of Dune, when I was watching it, it was like so realistic. The sound was amazing. So you can hear the soundtrack played in the back by Hans Zimmer, which was, I think, 2 full movie albums. It's like an hour and something long. Great, great, great soundtrack. But yeah, it was just a really high production movie. I'm excited to see the second one, but that's what kind of made it stand out from other movies for me.
Ah, so that sort of leads on nicely into our question. What are you excited about for the second movie? Because I know the first one was sort of building up to a second installment. What are you excited about?
Well, given that this first movie was paving the way for a second one, the first one seems like the plot kind of goes nowhere, because it's all just leading to the second one.
People never believe how easy it is to make a square.
Ignore the, ad. I have to play the soundtrack, do the thing. But the second one, I'm really excited for, because Zendaya she didn't really get to act in this. She had, I think, 20 minutes of screen time total, and only one scene did she talk in it. So I'm excited to see her act, definitely. And I'm excited to see what Timothy Chalamet brings as well, in more like, I don't know, a more high-paced action compared to the 2.5 hours of the first movie, where it was very, very monotone.
Right, so did they make it interesting enough? Like, for 2.5 hours just setting up a second movie, do you think it was worth going to watch?
Yeah, I think it was. Well, first of all, you'd be completely lost watching the second movie, but they were using some things that I hadn't really seen in movies, like just like the use of the sandworms. They're these big, like 100-meter worms that are based in Arrakis that go under the sand, and the CGI on them is beautiful. But also, there's this use of this thing called the voice, where basically it's like you speak to someone in a certain tone and they just do what you want, and I thought that was really cool, similar to the Force.
Yeah, I was about to say that sounds like the Star Wars one.
Sounds exactly like the Force. Yeah. But it is very cool, and I do recommend people to watch it, but don't expect some big climax at the end. On a melancholy the ending.
Right, I think Steven has a review first.
I was just reading through this review, and it talks about Star Wars in it, which you were talking about. This is quite a negative review. It says, yet another watered version down of the already watered down late Star Wars saga, now even more shamefully targeted to the teen public. So what do you think of that? Do you agree with that in any way?
I understand that the new Disney Star Wars is kind of whimpered out almost, but I don't think this is just another rebuttal of that movie or onto the next series, because I think this movie, while very similar to it, it's its own complete film, and I don't think it has the same production qualities of the old ones. Like the plot in the Star Wars feels very forced and not like the original, but if you watch the Dune, it's quite well put together. And everyone always talks about how Dune is getting everything from Star Wars, but the original Star Wars got quite a bit from the book of Dune, such as The Chosen One, and also they talk about spice in the mines of Star Wars a lot, which is this drug in Star Wars, and in Dune is kind of what the whole movie centered around, this spice on Arrakis. It's basically just centered around getting spice, because it helps technology and stuff, but basically Star Wars kind of took that from Dune, and then Dune took the whole like CGI from Star Wars, so it's kind of back and forth. But I don't think it's just another Disney Star Wars that's kind of whimpering out. I think it's its own movie, and it should be quite good.
Good stuff. Right. Any other reviews, Stephen? No.
No, that was the only one that released to me.
Right. That's everything from us. Thanks for listening.
Turn the recorder off.
What did the reindeer say before he went up to the comedy show to tell a joke?
I don't know.
He said, this one's going to slay you.
Who hides in a bakery at Christmas time?
I don't know.
A mince spy. Hello and welcome back to the Temple Carrick podcast. This is Leisha
and Alice, and today we're going to talk about Christmas.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's now December, so I think it's officially time we can talk about Christmas.
So, what were we talking about earlier? Advent calendars. Have you got an advent calendar?
I do. I was surprised with it this morning. My parents said they couldn't find anything. Actually, in fairness, they went through three different like supermarkets, like Aldi and Tesco's and Lidl. But I have a Nerf gun. But like, it doesn't actually have a gun in it, but it's like Nerf.
Has it got the... Wait, is it chocolate or is it...
Yeah, it's chocolate.
That is so good. I don't know what my advent calendar is yet. My parents don't give them to me and my brother until the evening time. Because we're not allowed it. Like, during the day, we have it like after dinner.
It's probably really bad, but I eat them like before breakfast. And it kind of makes...
Loads of people eat them before breakfast. But I forget about them sometimes. Like, I'll go days without having them. And then I'll have like 14 to eat. And I'm like,
that's really good.
It's good. But then I'm kind of like, I should have just waited till the last day and ate them all on the last day.
Oh, true.
Yeah, so I...
Wait. Okay, this is a bit of controversy. But some advent calendars don't have the 25th and some do. Because like...
Oh, there's no 25th.
Like, it's the lineup to Christmas. But my one this year has the 25th. So I was talking to my family and I was like... What? This is... What?
Yeah, no.
And they were like, no, you always have the 25th. And I was like, no, I don't. Because it's always Christmas time. And like, that's the
Yeah,
main...
like the countdown to finish Christmas is on Christmas Eve. Like, that's how I've always seen it. Is that the kind... Yeah, so I've always had like smaller ones up until the 23rd. And then on the 24th, it's been a bigger one.
Yeah.
To like say it's like the end of the countdown.
Yeah, and talking about Christmas Eve, as you're the family that have... Sorry, does your family usually have their Christmas dinner, like, on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve?
Do people have it on Christmas Eve?
People have things on Christmas Eve. And then they always do, like, for when you're little, you open up the big gift on Christmas Eve or something.
Oh, we have... My family, we open one gift on Christmas Eve, but it's always pajamas. So we always have our Christmas pajamas.
Oh, that's really fun.
Yeah, so we always have
like matching ones or...
No, we don't get matching ones. We don't get matching ones. My parents kind of, they just ask us kind of, like they take hints throughout the years to what pajamas we want or what we need. And then they, sorry, need to clear my throat. They give it to us on Christmas Eve. We open it, we put on those pajamas and we wear those on Christmas Day.
Oh, that's really fun. I don't think my family could ever do those whole... family matching Christmas pajamas.
Oh my god, no, it makes me cringe so much.
I don't think we can
and
even
I hate it so much.
Like find one that we can all agree on, like choosing together.
Yeah.
Anyways, so the toy show was last Friday.
It was interesting. We had different guesses as to what we thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be something like Alice in Wonderland or Wizard of Oz.
I said something along the lines of like Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, yes, you said Winnie the Pooh. Or did you say that maybe the Jungle Book again?
Yeah.
That was, yeah. But we were both wrong. That was The Lion King. Spoiler if you haven't seen it. it felt so weird this year. Like, it didn't feel the same way
it
usually does.
I didn't like the first two or three, but then I got into it. I quite enjoyed it, in fairness. It was better than last year's, in my opinion.
I don't really remember last year's. I think I fell asleep during it last year. That actually probably proves how like boring it was. But some parts of it were so funny, though. I loved DJ Callum.
Yeah, DJ Callum was my favourite.
And the facial expressions. Who was the guy? Who was the guy that did the singing?
I can't remember his name. But it took me by complete surprise with his
Ave Marie.
Yeah. I was quite surprised by that.
And then the audience was like a really weird vibe. Like the audience had such a weird vibe.
They didn't really react to anything. Like the audience last year was brilliant. They were saying a bunch of things, but. These guys were quite quiet, in fairness.
Yeah. Yeah, they were quite quiet. And also, there wasn't as much. There's one for everyone in the audience this year.
Ah, but in fairness, they won like a laptop and an
iPad. Yeah, no, they got that huge thing.
They got really good stuff this year.
Yeah, so the opera singer, his name's Fergal. Fergal is his name. But Callum's reaction to when Fergal was singing, oh my gosh,
that
it
took
was
my entire family out. That took my entire
oh
family
my gosh,
out.
No, it was so funny, and I'm seeing him all over TikTok and Instagram and Twitter now, just
the Twitter memes
of him.
Is so good.
That's gonna haunt him for the rest of his life.
Oh, but probably in a good way.
Probably in a good way.
Yeah, probably. Hopefully in a good way.
Yeah. Fergal, when he's older, is gonna be saying, "I got to sing in front of DJ Callum."
Yeah. One of my favorites was a little girl, who, do you know, the dinosaur girl.
Yeah.
And Ryan was just taking out
so
dinosaurs
happy.
Of her cart. She was just saying Stegosaurus
so
and all of these
happy.
Other dinosaurs.
Oh no, it did make me so happy. It was so cute. And then the same thing, he did it with someone else as well. Was it the
this year?
Yeah. Not the exact same thing, but he did something similar. Can't remember. But I find the girl who had the bubble doll. The doll called Bubbles.
Yeah.
I thought that was so funny. Because Ryan was like, oh my god, stop. It was so funny.
I feel the kids have a bit of cheek to them this year.
Yeah, yeah. Also, Ed Sheeran? Ed Sheeran. What are you doing?
The first time he came on to the show, this is ironic, it's our second podcast where we're talking about Ed Sheeran again.
I didn't even realise.
But the first time he came on, he was to Ryan, oh my goodness, this is so much fun, we should do something like this back in England. And Ryan was like, No. This is Irish. And then I think he said, whenever you want, you can come and join us on the show. So I think that's why Ed's quite freaking. Is this his second time or his third time?
Maybe his third, actually. I don't know. But I like the nice little plug of Equals.
What's a plug of Equals?
Ryan was holding his album cover.
Was he actually?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I was the only one who saw it, but they didn't say anything about the album, but Ryan was holding it.
Oh, that's quite smart. The thing that took me out, it was so funny. After they'd all sung with Ed, this kid is I don't like Bad Habits.
It's a bad song.
And then I was like, oh my goodness.
It was also funny, them drawing the faces against the whiteboard, the clear
that
board
looks like
thing.
Such a fun
it
game.
Looks like so much fun. But stressful.
So basically it was this whiteboard, and there's these glasses with a whiteboard marker attached to them, and the board's kind of see-through, it's plastic, so you're able to draw someone's face through it, or else different game, charade kind of style game. We looked it up afterwards.
Yeah, it's kind of, you kind of like charades. I'm sure you could do it with charades.
Yeah.
And draw it, and then people have to guess what. It's kind of like a Pictionary thing, but you're drawing with your nose. It's kind of hard to explain, but it looked fun.
The toy show is they obviously have the themes, and then they sing the songs according to the themes. But it's not very Christmassy. They don't have much Christmas music.
Yeah, no, it wasn't very Christmassy this year. Also, the cast was so small.
I guess.
It was one stage school this year, and kind of other years it's been multiple together.
Yeah, I think it's fortunate enough that we're able to, or that was able to happen with COVID, but...
Yeah, it is. But there was only two Lion King songs. I feel usually there's loads more songs.
Yeah, or there wasn't much of a theme. Although there was the theme.
Yeah, although there was the theme of the opening song and the ending song, there's no theme of Lion King throughout it. When I think there usually is. Because when they did Roald Dahl last year, they obviously had Roald Dahl books featuring and stuff like that. And different characters and stuff. But this one kind of... It felt a bit dull and a little bit depressing.
It didn't really feel Christmassy.
It didn't feel Christmassy. Yeah, but to me, it was kind of a letdown. I was so excited for it, and then it just wasn't what I expected. Just realised that we're running out of time. So thank you for listening.
I want to end it on a bit of a good note than depressing.
Depressing,
toy show.
Yeah.
No, in fairness,
Merry
I did,
Christmas.
I did
it's,
quite
yeah.
enjoy the toy
I
show.
Enjoyed it as well, but it just wasn't what I expected.
Yeah.
But happy 1st of December. 24 Sleeps Till Christmas Day.
Oh, very nice.
I know. But we've got to go. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you so much for tuning in.
And we'll see you at some point.
Yeah, see you next time.
Bye.